Agenda item number 12, report and possible discussion on fiscal year 2015 financial forecast and strategic plan by John Hawes and Jim Forte.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is not an action item. It's a report only. You all may remember that, of course, we will be bringing the budget to you in the next meeting in July. But what we began a few years back at your request was a little bit of a preliminary look at some of the assumptions behind what the budget is, might be, and the ability to discuss some of those if need be. I'll also say that following this meeting next week, we have a meeting with some of our customers to do the same thing, to give the same presentation to some of our customers, that give them a little first look at some of the assumptions in our fiscal 15 budget process. So that's the purpose, is just to bring some of those assumptions, keeping in mind, certainly, we've still got a couple of good months of work to still work on the budget, and it'll certainly be different than what I'm talking about here. But next slide. So we'll talk a little bit about the assumptions, show a little overview. Jim Forte will have a very brief discussion about the financial plan, long-range financial plan. Next slide. Okay. I'm going to sort of go to the end, the final. At this particular point, we are looking at potentially about a $69.40 system rate for fiscal 15 for the next fiscal year. As you may remember, if you look at the bottom bullet, our current system rate is $65.65. Did you all approve this last year? This rate would be a 5.7% increase if, in fact, it is $69.40. And it may be that number, it may be a little different than that in the final analysis when we finish our budget process. But it looks like somewhere in that vicinity, it's going to be somewhere in that vicinity this next year.
John, is this this proposed new rate, if adopted, kick in on a calendar year basis?
September 1st. Oh, okay. It starts September 1st, our fiscal year. It's when the new rate, very good question, yes. It starts not calendar year, but our fiscal year, which is September 1st when it starts. Yes. On the revenue side, and you'll see in a minute in the financial forecast, you'll see that the water rate assumptions looking out, not just in 15, but in the future years, are somewhere between 1-6%. We mentioned before about the LCRA water. Question came up about it. The remaining 3,472 acre feet of LCRA water we expect to be sold to the city of Georgetown at this particular point. We're working with a contract with them, and so that's an additional revenue source that will be in the fiscal 15 budget. On the lake operations side, as we discussed, policy change by the board to eliminate residential dock fees. Results in a reduction from fiscal 14 to fiscal 15. And the interest incomes, I talked about the rates that we use, somewhat unchanged from last year, but you can see their averages next year to about 60 basis points, which is pretty close to what we have. But we are sort of moving them up a little bit over the next few years, expecting that rates may someday actually start to rise. So it doesn't make a huge difference but at that low of a rate, but that's one of the assumptions. Next slide. On the expense side, if you look in the out years, 16, 17, 18, 19, we just use an indexing. For purposes of forecasting, we just sort of use a historical 10-year index there. But specifically for fiscal 15, those two small bullets in the middle, what we're looking at is actually this next year a reduction of 12 full-time positions. That is primarily because the Georgetown operation will no longer have in fiscal 15 that we had in 14. Of course, that was a substantially cost-reimbursable operation, so there's really no financial impact. We'll lose the revenue and the expense accordingly for that. And there's a couple of reduction of part-time positions. The compensation increases that we're projecting or that we're building into the budget for fiscal 15, very similar to what we did last year. It's almost the same. It's an ECI, Employment Cost Index is what that stands for. That's based on an index of just about 1% across the board, plus a 4% performance-based pool that'll be distributed based on performance assessment stuff through the employee group. On the RSMU, you may have heard mentioned before, what we refer to as RSMU Reservoir System Maintenance Unit is our in-house maintenance group at Possum Kingdom Lake. They're the nature, and I mentioned this last year in 14, this was starting and it's going to continue to go, where there's been sort of a shift of expenditures there. They're still there, still working, but their expenditures before had been, for the most part, capitalized. Some of those expenditures now are going to, and already started, are being expensed as more of an operating and maintenance cost over time, because they're more in a maintenance mode as opposed to more of a complete capital rehab mode. The significance of that is it matters to our system rate. Before, when they were capitalized expenditures, they were paid for out of our reserves to some extent, did not necessarily cause an increase in the system rate. This way, when you're putting them in your operating budget, you basically are getting your system rate to pay for it. And that's probably a more appropriate approach in some regards as the nature of that has changed. So, but it does put some pressure on your system rate going up. That's already happening. I'm just reminding you that that's a continual process where we're doing that. Next slide. Okay, this is, again, just an early look of, it's got 6 years on here, our current year, fiscal 14. And it's just a very, in the first column shows, if you look sort of a little about halfway down on surplus, net surplus and deficit, we're projecting right now about a $2.2 million surplus at the end of fiscal 14, the current fiscal year. That the budget was about $800,000 or $900,000, much like those other years are you see out there. So we're ahead of that. You saw that earlier today when I gave you the second quarterly budget report. We are already at that point, so it might actually be a little more than that at the end of the year. We'll see. The capital project spend, the line under that, $6.6 million. That's our best guess at this particular point. We're continuing to refine that in the next 2 months. We'll have a more accurate projection of that when we get back together in July on the capital projects, and that pushed a lot of the projects into fiscal 15. You can see $13.7 million. And then we'll just have to see as we're, those are almost placeholders out there in 16, 17, 18, 19 of just capital project spend. It may end up being, certainly will end up probably being a little different than that when you see it again in July and stuff, but we'll see. You can see the debt repayment. I mentioned that earlier, that was in fiscal 14, and that's something that reduced our reserves balance in fiscal 14. You can see it takes our reserve balance down to about $40 million, roughly, is what we project at the end of this year at August 31st to 14, and then ripples that through as it rolls through. And you can see overall our reserves are projected to go down if we do the type of capital spend that we're talking about over the next few years, and it will get us down to some of the 20-something million dollar range, which we've been there before. That was sort of the range we had before we did the PK divestiture sale and got that influx of money, and that was we were in the 20 to 30, which is still a very healthy reserve. I know it's less than what we have right now at 40, 50, or 60 million, but it's still a healthy and very adequate reserve. So it's just a function of spending our money and doing the things that we need to do. Next slide. This is just showing the system rate projection. Again, the current rate, 65-65. Right now, the projection of 69-40. And then you can actually see, based on the assumptions we're looking at right now, it's a very nominal rate increase. And the reason why I didn't go back a slide. I should have made a point here. Up on the revenue line, the second line up there, you'll notice that there's an increase from 15, fiscal 15 to fiscal 16, and then from 16 to 17 on the revenue. That's pretty significant. That is our assumption, and it was mentioned earlier that we have utility contracts with NRG and TXU that are going to expire in fiscal 15 and fiscal 16. And the assumption right now is that those would go to system rate. That they would, and that will be a significantly higher revenue number than we're currently receiving from those contracts. That is still subject to be, I think, that was mentioned before. NRG was one of the, you know, it's the negotiation points. That's still one of the things to be negotiated and discussed, because I'm not sure that's their expectation. But that's what right now we're projecting that to be. And that's why you see the revenues going up. And in effect, that takes some of the pressure off of rate increases, because you're going to get more revenue than we currently are having.
So, what would that bring?
Yes.
What is the LCRA rate?
The LCR rate is currently, their reserve rate is currently $75.50, but their take rate, they have two rates as opposed to ours where we just have one rate. They have a reservation rate, and they have a take rate, a rate that you actually use, and it's a 2-to-1. And so their reservation rate is $75.50 right now. But their take rate is double that. It's $151. If you actually take the water, you pay $151 if you just are reserving. All the water right now in our in our LCR Alliance contract is right now at the reservation rate. Well, you actually saw, I think there's a tiny, there's just a little amount of it. Well, I'm sorry. The reservation rate.
Yeah.
Now, the Alliance water has also a no net loss provision where we actually have to pay an additional premium on that, a 25% premium. So to LCRA, we pay $75.50 plus 100, we pay 25% in addition to that to LCRA as a result of the agreement of the 1437. And that's because that has to be replaced under this no net loss provision that was in that House Bill 1437. So it's actually is higher than that. And when that water gets taken, when they start using it, it goes to double that plus the no net loss thing. So it gets pretty expensive when that happens. So
how long do we have to stay under that contract?
Long time. It's a 30-year agreement or something.
Okay.
Is the contract we have to do it.
So,
and that's the question about where Round Rock has part of that is subsidized. 10,000 acre feet of it is subsidized by us. We subsidize that 25% premium, and then the other half is they pay that 25% premium. And there's a question now about how that's going to work on this last 3,472 acre feet. So that's what. That's
John,
what's happening there.
I'm a little confused on reserve rate. Do they take an option on water through the reserve rate? Do they pay that, or how does that work?
Are you talking about on the LCRA?
Yeah, LCRA, I'm sorry.
Yes, no, that's fine. They just have a two-tier system rate. We actually have some of that. We have a two-tier rate on a little part. We have 100,000 acre feet of our contracts are under a two-tier category, too, as a matter of fact, that we have. But they have this two-tier system, so it depends on whether you just are reserving it. Once you start taking the water, you have to pay twice as much for it. You basically have to pay double the rate. They have also announced, they're going through some hearings, I think, and some public hearing process. They have announced a rate increase, some pretty substantial rate increases, not just for the next year, but for the future years and stuff, that they're going to be raising their rates anywhere from 10 to 30% over the next few years and stuff like that.
Which has caused your senator and Abilene to be very upset and say,
don't be blaming that on me.
and saying that his constituents should not be having to pay that.
Okay.
The increase.
In any case, I wanted to point out the revenue things and the assumptions.
One more. How about your ending reserves? I know you say that we used to keep it around between 20 and 30. When would we start to say that is too low?
Well, that's a very good question. And I mentioned before that our reserves policy really requires just really one particular amount, if you think about it, which is 90 days of working capital is the only thing. Now, that amounts to about $7 to $8 million is all. That would be the absolute minimum that we would always have to keep in reserves. Now, I don't think anybody's comfortable with that being the number, but we've always been fortunate enough to have significantly more than that. But that would be the minimum. Then there is a self-insurance reserve, which is a small number, $500,000. And then we have placed a contingency reserve of $5 million. That's somewhat of an arbitrary number that we put in there for board, for you all to use in case we have some emergencies or unforeseen things. That, of course, you can add those up, and that's $13 or $14 million there.
Okay.
And then the remaining would be what's called a rate stabilization fund. We'd always want to have something in our rate stabilization fund, and we always have had substantial amounts. But if, for instance, a $5 to $10 million rate stabilization fund would get you up in the $20 to $25 million range. And I would say, from a comfortable standpoint, that's probably where we might want to be.
Yeah.
But that's not saying we can't go below there if we absolutely have to and have projects and spend that we need to do.
Let's go back and do a what if.
What if the drought continues, and what if we're able to convince Houston to be reasonable and we need to move that timeline up quicker, we may need to hit that fund.
Well, at least a permit. I know with one of the boards that I'm on, we always have to have a certain amount in reserves, and it depends on how we can borrow money, how much money we have to pay. But we don't have that, I guess.
Yes. The other... couple of the issues that I see, and just give you a heads up, that we're still working on that are not necessarily baked into this forecast right now. the water master that Matt was talking about. You saw he had a bright red line on there, says it'll be in, there will probably be some impact on the water master program in fiscal 15, although they believe that that's a 12 to 18 month ramp up to get that program going. So we don't really even know yet what the size of it is. We think it's going to be in final stages. It could be several hundred thousand to maybe $1 million a year. But again, that's going to be divided among the water right holders throughout the basin. So how much will be the Brazos River Authority share is still to be determined. And then how we then can charge some of our customers back for that, because there's our system customers will certainly have to bear some of the brunt of that. They represent 40% of our total water contracts. But our two-tier customers potentially in their contract, they allow for regulatory, if there's regulatory changes and costs like that, that you can perhaps bill them, have them pay for part of that. So that's still all to be determined. And whether we'll have all those answers, we may not even by the budget time, but we'll probably have a few hundred thousand dollars may get put in the budget to try to cover that, because there's going to be some ramp up in 15. I don't think that program will be in full force until probably fiscal 16, to be honest, from what they seem to be saying.
Thank you.
A couple other things. Again, I've already mentioned the that are issues, the TXU and NRG, the utility contract things, and what's going to happen there certainly could be. Benefits cost. We've seen some of our benefits costs have been helped, specifically healthcare costs have been going up here. In the last few years, we had, I've been here 11 years, we had extremely good benefits cost situation the first half of the time I'm here. In the last half of the time, our benefits cost it started to go up, and we've had some things. So there's some pressure being put on. We've had to add some more cost into the budget. We've already put it in. It will be, it's our, some of it we actually added in 14, and this year we'll absorb some in 14, we'll put some in 15.
We've had how many cancer cases? That two or three?
Five or six on our plan right now.
And their cost is just off the charts, and most of them are dependents.
So we're working through that. We knew it's one of those things that you have a good period, and sometimes it changes, it catches up. So we're working through those estimates of that. So, anyway, there's still more work that we're doing. We still are going to be looking at some of our expenses and our capital projects, so we'll be bringing back up. Next chart, I think, brings
the rates going up.
Next one after. There we go. All right, we'll let Jim finish it.
I'm the one person that stands between you and going home, so I'll try to be brief. Go ahead, next slide, Nancy. This is what we call our dashboard. It's the product that we get when we put all our assumptions into our long-range financial plan. We've talked about the influence of a number of variables on our planning. The one thing I would point out is our forecasting is very, very closely tied to the projects that we anticipate. And if you look out here at this lower right-hand corner, the red bars are debt that we anticipate issuing. And you can see, if you look up in the upper left-hand corner, how that coincides with that rate forecast going up. The interesting corollary to that is that it also contributes to us building our reserves. We build our reserves by issuing debt, which doesn't make sense until you consider that our net income requirement that we put into our budget is 1.3 times. So for every $1 million worth of debt service we pay in a year, we actually generate $1.3 million worth of excess income. And that $300,000 goes into the rate stabilization fund that John was talking about. This is what we showed you in 2014. Right now, status quo, not a whole lot going on. Probably look like this in 2015. But as we mentioned, there's a number of things going on. Next slide, Nancy. A couple of things. The 2017 or 2016 state water plan is under development right now. We're a big player there. There are projects in there. The drought, we think, is going to accelerate a lot of those projects. Same thing we talked about last year. water management strategies if they accelerate, if we're successful with Allen's Creek, if we have other projects that we think we can bring to bear, they will influence our projects. The thing about the state water plan is it doesn't get adopted until after next fiscal year. And so while we can contemplate projects that might be in there, there really won't be an official document for over another year and a half or so. And as Matt was mentioning, the Prop 6 projects, depending on how those get prioritized, they could influence what we're going to be doing as well. But right now, if you ask me what our forecast on our rates going to look like, it's going to look like a whole lot what I showed you last year. I'll answer any questions. Yes, sir.
Would it be wise to put a line for Watermaster and put a figure in there to maybe get ready for it, even though it may be a couple of years?
We have a pretty decent idea of what a water master will cost. One of the participants in the water master hearing, one of their key witnesses calculated what a cost for the water master for the entire basin will be. The estimate is it will be somewhere between $650,000 and $750,000 a year when it gets fully implemented.
Give us a call.
Consider the amount of water rights that we have. Our cost is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of a third of that. So we already have a pretty decent idea. As John mentioned, it depends on when that project or activity actually staffs up, when they get on the ground. TSEC should be giving us an indication of that. For every water master that they have, they actually approve a budget and a fee every year in July as the commission does its budgetary activity. So we'll have a decent idea of what those costs will be on an annual basis.
But however soon that kicks in, it's going to change the price of the water, too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it'll bring it up, certainly. And then as John was talking, how many units of water we can apply that against will influence what the net increase on the cost of water will be.
Any questions that anybody might have that they wish to ask and didn't do it on any subject?
As water across the state population growth just becomes an increasingly dominant issue, do you foresee a time, Jim, when there will be some sort of centralization of water rates from the various river systems? I mean, it's so inequitable to be paying $150 from one river and $75 from another river.
I think the answer to your question is it's going to be looked at. It's something that's going to be considered, whether or not the state should absorb regional river authorities into one entity that's controlled at the state level. It's been talked about before, and I assume it will be revisited, especially as implementation of the state water plan takes place. I can't tell you where it'll go, but I think it'll be discussed. Yes.
Yep. I was just thinking about rate setting.
Lawyers are gone.
But there's an interesting segregation, though, from basin to basin. There is not a prohibition, but it's very difficult to move water from one basin to another. It's called interbasin transfer. And I think as long as that limitation is there, then you're going to see water pricing specific to a basin. Because our costs, what it costs us to develop water, are very, very clearly defined by our customer base and the access we have to that resource. You move over, to the Colorado, and their economics are entirely different, and they essentially, other than the 25,000 acre foot contract we have with them, they don't commingle.
And their politics are different.
Yeah.
That's a large, large factor in what's going to happen to the future of water in Texas. It's the politics of it.